G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Today we are talking some draft, the 2022 Ball Boys Big Board. Let's go! G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Today we are talking the 2022 Big Board. We're talking draft. And as always, I'm joined by my good friend, the co-host of the podcast, Callum Mack. How are you, man?
Well, I love diving into the draft. We did well last season. I think was our first season really covering the draft, and we definitely had some good picks. So yeah, another year. Let's go.
Yeah, it's always a fun time of year. I love speculating and sort of getting ahead of the curve, and you know, I love my dynasty fantasy. So it's a good way to get stuck into it and get ahead of everyone else, and sort of get excited about the young crop of NBA players coming into the league. And we're going to get stuck straight into it. We're going through our big board today. We are only doing the top 14 picks, so the lottery for this one. Next week, the draft. Lottery happens, so we will, by the time we record our next podcast, know where teams are picking, and we will be coming out with our mock drafts, our mock lotteries, the entire first round mock draft, so we'll be able to put these names a bit more attached to certain teams. But for now, we're just ranking on what we think of each of the prospects and how we're going to go from there, and discussing a bit more in detail about these guys and what we think about them and where they'd be suited to NBA teams. So I'll throw it over to you here, Cal. I want you to go through. We've got a couple of tiered systems here. Now, you can take these tiers for how you like. You and I both have a slightly different sort of tiered system. You've got three tiers in our lottery. I've got actually five with a few other breaks earlier on. But talk me through your tier one and how many are in tier one and the rankings in order of which you would, you know, if you had a blank slate, you'd be drafting these players.
So I think similar to last year, we had a tier, I think both of us had a tier one that was, four or five players. So similar, you know, I've got five players in this tier one. And I really think, I guess there probably is maybe two or three players that more are the number one pick so far, but I do see the guards in Ivy and Sharp as also I think their ceiling is up there as well. So for that reason, I've kind of included them in this tier. I've gone with Jabari Smith as my number one. Yep. I think he is the most solid player that you can have in the draft. Personally, I think he's a walking 20 and 10. He is efficient. He can do everything. He's versatile on for a big man as well. He's really, I think he's probably the safest pick as well, which is why this I do have quite a bigger tier one. I think just probably getting the safest pick of all of them makes sense for a number one pick. You want someone that can be a core piece for obviously a very long time.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with him being the safest pick, and he definitely features quite highly in my rankings. Before I go through mine, let's go through the rest of your top five in order so that the everyone listening, watching the video can see, but anyone who's listening to the podcast knows who you've got ranked and in what
order. So I've got Paolo Banchero as my number two. I then have Jaden Ivey, the guard, as my third pick,
potentially Shaden
Sharp.
Yep, go on.
Another guard as my fourth pick, and then Chet Holmgren as my fifth. All in that first tier.
Yeah, right. Okay, fair enough. I'll go through my one. So my tier one is a little bit different. I've only got two players in the tier one. These are probably the only two players that I would consider taking for the first overall pick, regardless of the team that's there. And in that tier one, I've got number one, which we will discuss quite shortly. I've got Chet Holmgren as my number one man, who is obviously your number five guy. So a little bit of a difference in opinion there. And
look, still in tier one, and I think he is obviously number one pick worthy. Yeah. I'm just not quite as high, but I'm, you know, please go on.
Yeah, and then I've got Jabari Smith Jr. at number two, who are my two tier one players. I'll give you a sneak peek of my next tier, which is tier two. I do have Paolo Boncaro and Jaden Ivey sitting in that next tier at three and four. So with the exception of Shaden Sharp, which we might cover a bit later, our top tiers, you know, that grouping of that top four or five players are very similar. I guess probably the biggest difference, and we'll touch it on now, Chet Holmgren. Look, I can totally kind of understand that we would have a difference in opinion here because he's such a weird prospect, isn't he? Like he's super unique. He's obviously someone who is, he's got his criticisms. Obviously the skinniness comes to mind and, the self-creation and obviously the lack of strength and there's question marks. He moves kind of awkwardly a little bit, up and down the floor, but, What are your thoughts and your reasoning as to putting him down at a fifth at the bottom of this first tier?
I think he may be somewhat limited in the NBA game. We saw him block a lot of shots in college. I still think he'll get a reasonable amount of blocks in the NBA. But that being said, whatever he's in the post, I think he's just going to get bullied. He's way too small. And even when he's out in the perimeter, he's obviously not a stopper either, even though he can move his feet reasonably well. So from that point of view, I think he still probably is a net negative, really, in any kind of one-on-one situation. Help defense, yes, positive. But I think one-on-one, he's not really that stopper that kind of like everyone's been jumping on his bandwagon for. But look, he can shoot. I do like his shooting. He's got a bit of a fader post-up game as well, which I do like. I tend to probably compare him. I feel like Kristaps Porzingis has been thrown out there. That makes a bit of sense. But he does post up a bit more, I think, as well. So maybe even like a Pau Gasol, because he was also quite an intense player. Chet does bring a lot of intensity, which I do appreciate that in his game as well.
Yep.
But that being said, I still think probably the other guys in this tier, I just think that their overall ceiling to carry a franchise is just a bit better. While I still think Chet is probably more of like a core piece, he probably isn't a number one. So that's why he's probably slid a bit further down in my tier one list.
Yeah, you bring up a really good point here. And obviously this is the second time the second year that we've heavily covered the draft. We did cover the draft a few years ago, but maybe not quite in as much detail as we have this year and past and last year. But even just comparing this draft to previous seasons, in my opinion, I don't see anyone in this draft as like a number one, I know we're using tiers in this situation, but like a franchise cornerstone player. I don't know if I see that in this draft. Whereas last season, you have someone like a Cade Cunningham, even maybe to a lesser extent, like an Evan Mobley. Those kind of players I can see being that like number one franchise, give them the ball, clear out, go to work kind of thing. And I don't know if I see that in this class. I think all of these players are like the second best player on a championship team. I think Chet Holmgren, you know, say for example, I would love to see him get drafted by the Houston Rockets, you know, and have that defensive presence and be that number two guy next to a Jalen Green, who's like the main offensive weapon, but he's obviously the best. You know, we see that kind of blueprint with a lot of guys like an Anthony Davis or even like throwback guys like Kevin Garnett. Someone you mentioned, Pau Gasol, who's like the second best player but the best defender on the team. They're high IQ basketball players. They fit in a lot of schemes because he's able to space the floor. He's got really good passing instincts. So he's a very scalable player, and he's going to be able to fit in a lot of different systems. But in saying that, The knock is on him. He's not going to be the guy that you just throw the ball to and expect a bucket, because his offense and self-creation is behind that. So I have him number one, but I'm still not expecting him to be the quote-unquote go-to guy. And as long as I think you have that expectation and you know what you're going to get and what you want from him, I still think that the value that he'll bring to the team compared to these other guys is the best. Now, you might think differently on someone like a Jabari Smith or Paolo Boncaro. Jabari Smith is probably the one, and again, he's in that tier one with him, that I could potentially see make that jump. But I'm still bringing him, like, if we mesh this draft together with last year's draft, he's still behind those other guys in terms of my confidence in them taking the franchise and running with it. So that's sort of an overall thought on this draft, but I do really, I find it hard to compare here. I'm not too worried about the size. I think, obviously, we have this criticism for a lot of players, a lot of big guys. It takes time for them to fill out, but most of the time they do. You think of, I know he probably won't do this, but you think of Giannis when he was drafted. He was this skinny kid. You know, someone like Evan Mobley was super thin. He's worked out fine. Kristaps Porzingis, he's filled out. All these guys get bigger. Anthony Davis was super skinny coming out of college. So I'm not too worried. Also, I want to give a comp to all the guys that we're going to talk about today, and I want to get your thoughts on these. I'll give you a new school comp and an old school comp. My new school comp for him is Evan Mobley. You know, someone who's can hit the jumper a little bit. He's got good passing instincts. He's a very versatile defender. Maybe not quite as mobile and good at guarding the perimeter.
Not the defender.
Yeah, maybe not the perimeter defense that Mobley has, but definitely the inside interior. He's probably even higher than Mobley, in my opinion. Obviously, the size and the frame is pretty similar. And my old school comp is, this is a bit of a throwback, a Ralph Sampson, who played for the Houston Rockets back in the day. Now, he had a few injuries that kind of hurt his career after his first few years, but his first few years with the Rockets, he was putting up a lot of blocks and a lot of threes. He's probably a more efficient player than a Ralph Sampson, and probably has a higher ceiling. But those are the two guys that come to mind. What are your thoughts on those comps?
Yeah, look, I like the comps as well. I think that's reasonable. I kind of like a Chris Bosh kind of comp as well.
I don't know if he's got the offensive Bosh, though. The Bosh's was more of a scorer than I think Chet will be.
I thought you were talking about Jabari. Chet. Yes. Well, I definitely agree on that point. Chet doesn't have the scoring potential. I still think Kristaps is probably the best. I guess it's maybe the appearance. He's just a bit more intense.
I can see that.
A bit of a flashback to when Kristaps was drafted by, I think it was, yeah, Phil Jackson drafted him. And then he had a quote earlier in his rookie season saying he reminded him of, I think it's Sean Bradley.
Yeah, that was it.
Who
yeah.
got derailed by injuries in yeah. his career. And then pretty much said he thought the same would happen to Kristaps. And it looks like that's kind of where we're headed. So interesting take.
Yeah.
Chet has a similar body. So I think you have to be maybe a little bit worried what kind of, if he does put on weight, if there is some injury risk with him moving forward. And I did take that into mind when I did put him at my number five pick.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, I find it hard to project health in a player, especially, you know, this early in the season. If they haven't shown any injuries in the previous level, then I'm not taking too much of that into consideration unless they've got a history. The only thing I would say about that Kristaps comparisons, I think he's a much better defender than Kristaps. Probably not quite the shooter that Kristaps was coming out, and maybe also a much better facilitator and passer than Kristaps. So I would actually say that he's got a higher ceiling than Kristaps Porzingis, but by a somewhat significant margin. But let's go on and talk about the next guy. Your number one, my number two, Jabari Smith Jr. We both probably are pretty in line in thinking, I think, with this one. I think he's the safest pick in this draft. And if I had any question marks over Chet, I would be very happy to select Jabari Smith. And I think he fits pretty much any team in the NBA. Prototypical four-man. I'll throw some comps your way.
I've already had Chris Bosh. Jabari Smith. Yeah, I think that's pretty reasonable. But yeah, go on.
My favorite one is, this is my old school comp. He reminds me of a 6'10" Ray Allen, which is kind of scary to think about. Obviously, we remember Ray Allen and romanticize him. He's like the second leading time 3-point shooter in NBA history. He'll probably get, you know, taken over by a fair few of the modern NBA players, but, you know, he's got that like really nice high release shot. And Ray Allen early on in his career was pretty good at getting to the rim as well. He's decent at defending. The modern day comp, I've got Jason Tatum with a little bit of an asterisk to say that maybe he's not quite as good off the dribble as Tatum and maybe not quite as a facilitator. So a little bit less keen on that one there, but I do like my 6'10" Ray Allen comp. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, it's interesting. Obviously, Ray Allen back in his youthful days, I think it was the Bucks. He was super athletic, got to the rim a lot, and then really became into a shooter later into his career.
Yeah.
Jabari Smith.
He's probably more of a shooter
versatile.
Already.
I think it would be great in even like a small ball lineup. You can go small of him at the center. And that really does suit this day and age. This league is really going in that direction. So, but he can also stretch the court, play the four. You can play a big. He's just your prototypical. He's such a safe bet. I think he's the walking 20 and 10 every night. And I will say the one thing he probably really does need, which we kind of saw in the college tournaments, he was carrying his team, but he didn't really have great guards. And they did find it quite difficult to get him the shots that he needed. So I think at this point, unless he does get a bit better in terms of shot creation, you really would want to pair him with a pretty good veteran point guard or a pass-first facilitating point guard to really make sure you're getting the most out of him.
Yeah, like I would love to see him on Detroit with Cade. I think that like if I'm them at number one pick, I'd take him over Chet Holmgren. So that's the reason that I'd have them in the same tier, because I could see, depending on the team that's drafting at that spot, I'd be happy to take either one of them. Would you say the same for the rest of your five? Like, do you think that it's like team dependent? And if
I think it is, and that's why I've got such a big tier, because I think it really is team dependent. You might find someone who just wants to play the winning game and go over Shaedon Sharpe just because of that potential. You mentioned before you don't think anyone's a number one option. Potentially that Shaedon Sharpe is that number one option. He was the best prospect coming into college, and that's why I've got a bit of hype around him. But or even a Jaden Ivey, maybe this one, they want to get a guard. They don't quite believe in Holmgren as much as I do. He's super athletic. Maybe that could blossom into something. So
Let's go on to the next guy that you've got, and my number three guy as well. I've been toing and froing. I with Jaden Ivey and Paolo Banchero, I've been flip-flopping these guys for weeks now. I had Ivey up above him for a while, and then the tournament came around, and there was a lot of buzz around Banchero. I was kind of fighting it for a little while, but I think he's probably a safer bet than Jaden Ivey. I see some red flags with Banchero. I'm a little worried about the defense and the effort. I'm worried that he's not a super explosive athlete, and I think his game kind of like almost requires that. He's obviously strong and physical, and he's got a great, you know, he's 6'10", you know, 250 pounds, but he's not someone who's going to jump over you or blow by past you, from what I've seen. So that kind of makes me a little bit worried, but I've just put him above Jaden Ivey just because he's 6'10", basically. You know, there is some nice things to see there. As a comp, I sort of see him more as like a Julius Randle or like a less athletic Blake Griffin. I've seen some people compare him to like Carmelo Anthony, and I can't get around that. He's nowhere near the scorer that Melo is. You know, the lack of defense might be good, but yeah, I see more of a Randall or a Blake Griffin kind of type. What are your thoughts on Banchero? Are you higher on him than I am?
Yeah, I'm pretty high on him. He's got a lot of positive things that you look for when you go to scout things.
Yeah, he does.
And that includes, you know, he can pretty much score from anywhere, everywhere, interior scorer. He's got a good shot on him. He's got a pretty good ball handling skills, especially for someone 6'10". Yeah. He really is quite good. And he's also a good passer. So he's one of those guys. He's obviously, you know, not in the league of Cade Cunningham, but he has a lot of tools in his bag. And for that reason, I think that's why he's gone so high on my list, just because he does have a lot of positives on display. And I think he could be a number one option. You know, on a team, depends on who drafts him, but I could see someone that's really going all their chips with someone like Banchero. So I'm pretty positive. The one thing, the fault is the defensive effort, and that's what we've kind of spoke, what you touched on, and that is really his only negative that people have been mentioning. I was watching some tape, and he is getting blown by here and there, and I do understand it. So he is 6'10", so he may have to have some kind of scheme based around that if it never really does shape up. But I think the offensive talent is still there. You see someone like a Luka Doncic, for example, he's nothing really defensively, but so incredible offensively. I don't think Benkiro obviously is going to be on that level, yeah. But I guess that's what, some kind of cause. I still think he can be a pretty, pretty awesome player and have a lot of plays run through him with his facet of skills.
Yeah, I think this comes down to just like a preference thing. I think the more I've done a bit more of this draft research stuff, I've really discovered my preference as like if I'm a team builder, if I'm a GM, and I mean, I'm wearing my Celtics shirt. You know, hopefully by the time this video comes out and you've watched it, we're up 3-2. But I really like what the Celtics have done in terms of they've got five guys on the court that can all defend. You know, pretty much all of them can play make. They're all big. So I think when I'm building a roster, I really prioritize defense, or at least someone who's serviceable, if not a net positive on the defensive side of things. And I'm just worried about Benkero's ability to do that. Now, he could come out and prove me wrong. He has the physical tools, so obviously he's got the size. I do worry about his bit of lateral quickness, and I don't know how long. He doesn't appear super long to me like a Jabari and a Holmgren does, but that might just be because he's a bit bigger. That might be an optical illusion sort of things. I'd love to see his wingspan at the combine and his measurements and sort of get a better idea there. But I do just have that worry, but it's just enough for me to put him a tier below those other guys. I couldn't really get behind drafting him number one. The only team that sort of makes sense the most might be like Orlando Magic, because they've already got a bunch of length and defense on their side. So perhaps he fits in a team like that. But even then, I think I'd probably rather Jabari Smith in that scenario, and just have be a bit more confident with the shooting. You know, I don't think he's a good enough ball handler and a playmaker to be the primary initiator. Like he's not Luka Doncic. He's a secondary playmaker on a team, in my opinion, or at least on a good team. And so for that reason, that kind of caps his upside in my eyes. But I still have him obviously third overall, battling with that Jaden Ivey spot. I really like Jaden Ivey. I think he. The only thing that keeps him here is the fact that he's shorter than a lot of these other guys. I am, you know, you hear the comparisons, and this is my comp to him. He's like a Ja Morant, Russell Westbrook sort of type player. Obviously, super athletic, super fast, can jump out the gym. He's got good size, 6'4" at the guard position. My only question is he a point guard? If he's a genuine point guard and he can run the ball through him, he jumps ahead of Paolo Banchero, and he could probably be in tier one for me. But I don't know if he is. I don't know if it's like the offense he was in. Obviously, they had a few other guards in their team. Obviously, we're not in those training drills or those workouts, so we don't have all the information. But I don't know if I think he is like a Ja Morant, a you know, primary playmaker and a point guard on an NBA team, or if he's more of that, you know, two guard that can do stints at the point. If he's that, then that's kind of where I see him, maybe even a step below. But what are your thoughts on Jaden Ivey and his upside?
Yeah, he's definitely has those flashes, doesn't he? He jumps out of the bloody floorboards and on the fast break in the open court. He is so deadly and lethal. When I first started watching him, I kind of actually got reminded a bit of John Wall, just with the explosion in the open court. He's awesome. But yeah, he doesn't really have that passing. So I've kind of considered him more as a combo guard, not your leading point guard.
Yeah.
Probably even more the two. There are some flashes, I guess, with the Westbrook with some of his moves. Even Westbrook, when he came out of college, had question marks of putting him at point guard.
That's right. That's why I thought that Westbrook comparison was better. Now, hopefully he's got a better IQ than Westbrook, which has obviously been his downfall of his career, but he did kind of make that transition to point somewhat well.
And so I'm kind of, I think, two pretty good. I've got Donovan Mitchell, I think, is a pretty good comp.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Because he's a good combo guard, pretty athletic as well. So I think he could fill those kind of shoes, maybe a little bit more athletic. And then maybe even a Victor Oladipo before the injuries. I kind of see Jaden Ivey in that kind of ball house as well.
Yeah. I really like him. I think he's got, like, you know, you hear he's like the son of like a WNBA player who's now a basketball coach, and I think his dad was a wide receiver. Like, the genetics are just out of this world. And obviously, he's grown up in a basketball family, so you'd hope that the IQ was there and the basketball smarts are there. So I've got a soft spot for Jaden Ivey, and the more I talk about it, the more I'm talking myself into putting him over Banchero, but that's just more of my preference. I would love to see him go to a team where he gets a chance to be the number one point guard, but I don't see what that team would be with a lot of these players and teams picking at the top of the lottery. Maybe it's Indiana and he moves to the point guard there, or they do kind of like a 50-50 split. I'm not sure, but I'm very excited to see Jaden Ivey in the NBA. Let's move on to the next tier. I know we haven't talked about your boy here, but in this next tier, this is where I play Shaedon Sharpe in my tier three. And also in that tier, which you have in your next tier, I've also got Jalen Duren, who is my sixth-ranked player. So before we get to Duren, we'll finish off with your tier one guy that we didn't mention in Shaedon Sharpe. Obviously, he's the mystery box. He's the guy that obviously didn't play in college. He came out of high school early, entered the draft under weird circumstances, said he was going to play. But obviously, there was a lot of hype around his draft pick. And obviously, when you know you're going to be a top 10 pick, you declare for the draft. It's a smart thing to do. Lock that away. What do you think about Shaedon Sharpe? What have you seen, basically? Like, it's hard to know, what we've all watched and what kind of film and information we all have, because it's all a bit murky right now.
I've been through a few of some high school videos, and there was some all American game I saw him playing, something like that as well. And that's just because that's all that's out there, right?
Yeah,
he was the number one ranked player before the college season. This season he was
the number one ranked,
projected.
He was the projected number one pick on ESPN's site for the 2023 draft.
Yeah.
Just so the listeners can clarify that.
Yeah. So projected number one pick for next year. He didn't go to college. He decided to stay in Canada. I'm not too sure what the whole reasoning was, but he pretty much just said, I'm just going to get ready for the season, essentially. And now he's declared. So we haven't seen him at all in college ball, but from what I've seen, he does honestly look like, it was a number one pick on ESPN for a reason.
Yeah.
The man can do everything. He's 6'6". He has crazy skills. He can shoot. He is probably one of the most athletic people in this draft, in my opinion. He reminds me a bit of Anthony Edwards with that respect, just because he is just a total athlete. Anthony Edwards is quite a unique specimen in himself, but I do see some shades of that in Shaedon Sharpe. So there's a lot of positives there, but it is really hard to classify him just because we don't have as much footage on him, and there is a bit of hesitancy for that reason.
Yeah, it is. There is that hesitancy because if you think about, this year's draft. So going to this year's draft, I know it's always been a bit weird these last couple of years with COVID and things like that and limited visibility. And obviously it's still affected teams very much so this season. But going into this season, you had players like Jaden Hardy or Patrick Baldwin Jr. Those guys who were the top ranked prospects or up there in the top ranked prospects. Usman Dieng is another name that comes to mind. That Nikola Jokic, not the NBA Nikola Jokic, but the other one. Those guys were top 10 prospects heading into this season, and they didn't perform, and they're not lottery considerations, or I don't think, at least we'll go through them, that they're lottery considerations this year. So it's hard coming out of high school and that kind of level of talent and projecting and skipping a step, going straight to the NBA. Look, I think he can do it. Like from what we've seen, he's got the body, he's got the size, he's got the skills and athleticism. But it's just, I don't think you can select him over the four names that we've talked about so far with that risk involved. I think that those other guys are just more sure things. I've got him up here simply based on the upside. So if I'm say I'm an OKC or something like that, and I miss out in the top four, 100%, I'm drafting Shaedon Sharpe just because he is just the highest upside player, and I need a star if I'm that franchise. But there is some risk there, definitely. And we haven't seen him in person, so we don't have all the information. I want to throw some comps your way. You mentioned, who did you mention? Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards is a freak athlete, like probably one of the best athletes we've had in a long time. So I don't know if he's got that level of athleticism.
I think that's fair enough. Maybe I've got another comp, maybe like a Paul George. I think it's probably better. It's a better comparison, in my opinion, because he can get to the rim real crafty and can definitely shoot the lights out as well.
Yep. I like it. I'll throw you one of my throwback ones. I've got a Andre Iguodala, like a Philadelphia Andre Iguodala is my comp for him. I don't know. I've heard some criticisms about his shot consistency. Again, I've heard some people say that in high school, his shooting percentages and shot selection wasn't the best, but then I've heard some people say that he's improved that a lot. Again, it's really hard with no statistics to back it up and to sort of know. So until I see it over a long stretch of time, I'm not going to assume that he's a lights out shooter like a Paul George or something like that. So my comp is an Andre Iguodala, someone who, you know, he's got that good size, he's got that good vertical, he's actually pretty decently strong as well. You know, he's got a little bit of playmaking, and from what I can hear, he's got the length and ability to be a good defender in the NBA as well. So what are your thoughts on Iggy as a comp?
Whenever I think Iggy, I always, in my mind, I think he's one of the best perimeter defenders, like literally ever. I have him up there. You know, if you want to like, you know, raid maybe you got Scottie Pippen, you got Michael Jordan, you got players. Iguodala is an incredible perimeter defender. I just want to put that out there. Yeah. So look, I don't think that when I think Shedon Sharpe, he's just like, I think it's more I like the Paul George comparison personally.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Maybe more offense for defense. I don't know. It's hard to tell. I mean, he's got the size to be an excellent defender, but obviously you're taking more into account there. But let's talk about my next guy here at number six. I've got Jalen Duren. We'll start to go through your tier two now here. So actually, before we start to talk about Jalen Duren, let's go through your tier two, which I think we've got another five names here.
Okay, yep. So my tier two, I'll run through them now. Number six, I had Keegan Murray. Number seven, I had Benedict Mathurin.
Mathurin.
I then had Johnny Davis at the eighth, AJ Griffin for nine, and Jalen Duren for 10. Once again, I probably could shuffle these around. I think it really does depend on what team is where. But I think most of these guys... I kind of met maybe on the same level. Maybe one guy could knock out, but I'm pretty comfortable where I landed.
Yeah, I think we've all got like pretty similar names in my tier four. I've got a lot of other guys. I've got two more that I'll add to the list. This is where I actually think between tier one and tier two, so your top four, both our top fours, there's a significant drop off, at least in confidence for me in Shedon Sharpe. Maybe Shedon Sharpe is in that group, but I'm just not confident at this stage. Jalen Duren, I've got in the same tier as Shedon Sharpe, but his upside is probably nowhere near it. I'm just more confident than I am with him and Sharpe. So they're kind of in a tier, but they're very different stages for me.
Jalen Duren is like, he'll be a fantastic NBA player, but I think his ceiling is just a great role player.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's a different category, I think, to obviously a franchise core piece.
Yeah, so I guess it depends on your philosophy and what you're drafting for and what team is drafting at that position as to what you want. But this next tier here, I think there is like... nothing between these guys. Like, I could flip-flop on so many of these players, and a lot of them are quite similar. Like, I've got a big chunk of all these wings. So I'll run through my tier four. I'll mesh Duren into this tier as well. So we've got Jalen Duren at six. At seven, I've got Benedict Mathurin. At eight, I've got AJ Griffin. Nine, I've got Keegan Murray. 10, which you didn't have in here, I've got Tari Eason. And then at 11, another player you didn't have, I've got Dyson Daniels. And then at 12, I've got Johnny Davis. So a lot of those wing players and a couple of like big guards at the end there as well, all clumped together. I think there's a lot of things going in here. I'm looking at age as well. So I've sort of faded a couple of the older guys in Keegan Murray, Tari Eason down a little bit lower. Some of the younger guys in Duren and Benedict and AJ Griffin up a bit higher. But a lot of these guys are very similar to me, and it's sort of depending on team need. Like, if you need a bit more shooting, then AJ Griffin, Mathurin are up there. If you need a bit more defense, then maybe Eason and Murray are a bit higher. But I do think that these guys are all fairly close together. You've got Keegan Murray at the top of the tier here. What's your thoughts about him beating out the rest of them?
Yeah, look, I didn't feel that good about it. As I said, this tier, I think I could flip coins. It depends on the team a lot as well.
Yeah.
I just kind of put him there, and kind of the Jabari Smith rationale, I think he's probably the most solid, most reliable out of all of them, weirdly enough. I think he can just be a good NBA player. Can
he's
do a bit
the best
of everything.
Player, obviously, right now. He's,
exactly. He's solid. He's got a good arsenal in terms of tools. He's a reasonable defender. He really has got a lot of the Jabari Smith things. He's just not on that level. That's why he's in the second tier. So I guess that's why I've kind of put him at six. But in terms of team needs, I've no, there's nothing wrong with, maybe reaching for someone else a bit above him. But I do like Keegan Murray. He had a great scoring kind of performance in college this season, 23.5 points a game, 38% from the 3-point range. So that looks really promising. Two blocks as well. So he's pretty much just doing a bit of everything. The only real down part is, it's the age. So he's 21 and a half years old. So he'll be turning 22 this year.
By
so
the time he's drafted, yeah.
Exactly. He is up there. And look, obviously, genuinely, I guess that can be a negative, but players like Des Bane who comes out and he slides for his age, and he's obviously a great, fantastic player. Sometimes the age should come into it, and sometimes you just obviously take the best player if he's there. And I think this guy is just a great fit for really any NBA team.
Yeah, like obviously he's again like a pretty prototypical four man. I don't know if he could be a center in the NBA. I don't know if that is in his future, but I do think that he is definitely some of those guys, the switchable guys with size. He's scored a lot in college in the post. I don't know if that's going to be his role in the NBA. He's probably going to be a bit more of a slasher, more of a cutter. And if he can continue to show that jump shot and keep that efficiency moving forward, I think that that's going to do him a lot of well. I'll throw you my comparisons here. I've got my modern one is a Pascal Siakam. And an old school one I've got is Sean Marion, obviously with a bit of a different jump shot. But in terms of their stat profile, if you look at them, they're actually very, very similar. So the Matrix, Sean Marion is my old school comp. What are your thoughts there, Cal?
Look, Sean Marion was a great, great player for a very, very long time.
He was a very good player, especially in that fast pace.
A lot of praise.
Especially in that fast pace Suns team. So if you can get him on a team that's got a good guard and a good fast pace, I think he can do really well.
Yep. I like the Pascal Siakam comp a bit better. As you know, maybe this is why I probably have him at the top of this tier. When we play, I love a good spin move. I'm always spinning right. That's all I do. Likewise for Pascal Siakam, he loves a spin move. And likewise for Keegan Murray, he loves a good spin. So maybe there's a bit of bias there. But that's a lot of his offense. That's why he scores a lot. He just gets in people's faces and it just rolls in.
Well, I'm surprised you didn't have another guy that we'll talk about later. But let's go on to the next guy in your list, Benedict Mathurin. He's obviously got a little bit of a hype off the tournament, but for good reason, I think. I think he's obviously that classic. Now, we use the word 3-and-D a lot when we're talking about draft prospects. I don't know if the defense is quite there as much as the 3 is, but he's super athletic. He's bouncy. He's got a beautiful looking shot. I think he's obviously a younger guy than some of these other guys in Murray and Eason. But I think he's someone that should fill a role in pretty much any team in the NBA.
Yeah. Similar to Keegan Murray, I've gone with Benedict here because he's. I think he's just a really safe pick. I think he's just going to be a solid role player. I think most of these guys probably will be role players within this tier. And Benedict, I think, he can shoot the 3 already. He's super athletic, and that should help in defense. His defense probably has a bit of way to go, but I think he's got obviously the tools there. So for that reason, I think he probably will get selected around this range. Just because of the things he's kind of showed. As you said, he did have a pretty good hot streak at the end. I mean, look, 38% from 3 as well. 17.5 points is no joke in college basketball. So he's got a lot of positives there. So I think it's a pretty safe pick. Whoever drafts this guy has got a good core stone for a long time.
Do you think the guys in this list are all-stars? Do you see any all-stars in this list?
In his tier.
Yep.
I weirdly think my next pick maybe have that ceiling, but he's also got a lower floor. So I think Johnny Davis, if everything goes well, could be an all-star just because of the flashes.
Yeah.
And he looks great. He can do some pretty cool up and under. He's a mid-range beast. But what comes with that is, like, you know, sometimes some bad field goal and things like that. So if someone really gave him the keys and said, you know, go get yours, probably on a bad team, I could see Johnny Davis maybe being an all-star. But outside of that, I think in this tier, probably not.
Yeah, I don't think I see any all-stars in here. Maybe an AJ Griffin in this tier. I think Jalen Duren, who for me is in a tier above, I could see being an all-star as well as one of the big guys if he really blossoms and hits his potential. So I
see him like a Robert Williams.
Yeah.
Do you think Robert Williams, for example, will be an all-star? I just don't think he would.
On a number one seed team, he could definitely be. Especially Robert Williams with a few more points per game. In my opinion, Robert Williams is one of the best defenders in the NBA. And if he, you know, I know all-stars is, you know, it's not the best marker for success, but it's, you know, if he's on a good team as that number one defender, you know, he could be an all-defensive kind of player. He can be, you know, an all-star center in a league that doesn't have that many centers, good centers. I think he has that upside. Whether or not he gets there, I'm not super confident, but I do think that is a possibility.
It's like a rim runner. I think that's most of his offenses. Rim running, you know, he'll screen. He also has a lot of intensity as well to get offensive rebounds. But in terms of historically,
I see a bit of passing there, bit of offensive potential. I don't know. The jump shot, it's not completely broken.
Is that a good thing?
Yeah, is that a high praise? I don't know.
but I was going to say, in terms of like more your rim running centers who've made it to the All-Stars in recent history, you've got players like, I guess, Rudy Gobert and maybe a DeAndre Jordan. So if you think Jalen Duren, are they comps in your eyes?
Yeah, I could definitely see that. I see him, my favorite one is the Robert Williams. The other old school comp that I've got with him is like a Ben Wallace kind of type. Just that like guy who's just really, really big physical. Like he's people have compared him to Dwight Howard. I don't know if I'd go that far, but he's just like super strong, super physical. And there's obviously a lot of defensive potential there. So as a ceiling, he could hit that kind of level. But, DeAndre Jordan, I don't mind as a comparison as well. But I do see a little bit more playmaking and a bit more IQ than a player like that, perhaps. Let's keep moving on to AJ Griffin, who you've got at 9, I've got at 8, so both very similar. Obviously, he's got a bit of an injury history. He was obviously super athletic coming out of high school. Hasn't shown as much of that athleticism in college coming off his injury. I think it was a dislocated patella, which is no joke. That's a pretty serious injury, and obviously, with a little bit of knowledge in this field, it gives me a bit of pause to concern that I don't know if he's going to get that explosiveness back. It's a very crucial part of the body in terms of force translation when we're going from, you know, the feet up towards the larger muscle groups in our quads. So I've got my concerns there, but he obviously shot the ball really, really well. So I would compare him to someone like my comparison here is a larger 6'6" and a longer Desmond Bane, who's obviously got a bit more youth on his size than Bane had coming out of the draft. So maybe a slightly higher ceiling as well. He's like a Desmond Bane in a Jimmy Butler body would be the best way for me to describe him to someone who's never seen him play before. Well, what are your thoughts on AJ Griffin and where do you see him in the NBA?
It's funny you mentioned Jimmy Butler. I saw this one website saying AJ Griffin was a 3-point shooting Jimmy Butler. And yeah, I was just thinking, that's a pretty damn good player.
Yeah, no. He is nowhere near the defender that Jimmy Butler is.
I was going to build off to. I think he shoots the damn lights out. 48% from 3-point range from college. It was just money every time. I love his shot as well. It looks beautiful. For that reason, and because of the percentages and because I think there will be probably a lack of defense, I've kind of compared him more to a Buddy Hield. That's kind of where I have him right now in terms of the floor. And hopefully if he becomes a better defensive player, he can become into a better player. But I think when I was watching that video of him on defense, he was getting blown by all the time. I think he was really struggling to stay in front of people. And look, yes, maybe he hasn't completely come back from those injuries, because he did miss 2 full years with the knee and ankle injuries in high school. So maybe that has something to do with it, and he can kind of bounce back. He is only 18 and a half years old, so he is young.
Super young.
So there is, yeah, exactly. So like that's on his side, the youth. So maybe there is a ceiling there for him to really jump up. But when I put him on my board at 9th, I was kind of thinking to myself, this is just going to be like a 3-point specialist at this point, just because the defense for me definitely was not there. So I've kind of just assumed that.
Yeah, no, fair enough. I think we both sort of see him fairly similarly. Let me talk about these two guys here that you don't have in this tier here. Now, to give you a sneak peek on your 11 through 14, do you have Tari Eason and Dyson Daniels in your lottery?
I do. That they're just like in their 13 and 14, respectively.
Okay, cool. I want to talk about Tari Eason first. This is, I might be going early here, but this is maybe one of my guys going into this draft, because this man, like, just look at his stat sheet. He fills it up, and he did this coming off the bench in college. He is someone who he's got the NBA size. Talk about comparisons. Body-wise, he's a bit of a Paul George sort of body to me, like 6'9", long, bouncy, very athletic. He's my old-school comp to him is like a Gerald Wallace, if you remember the Charlotte Bobcat days.
Yep.
You know, just one of those really aggressive, rim-running, physical specimens. For a modern guy, maybe like a Larry Nance Jr., but maybe with a little bit more upside if you can get the jump shot right. But really good defender, really good offside, weak side help defender, racks up a lot of steals, lots of blocks. Someone who, if he can get the offensive side of his game to at least like a decent level, I think he can have a really big impact on a good NBA side. What are your thoughts about Tari Eason? Maybe you're not quite as excited as I am, but you've obviously got him still in the lottery.
Look, I like Tari Eason. Maybe when we get closer to the draft, I might rise him up a bit higher. But yeah, look, he's definitely a hustler. He plays with a lot of fire, can shoot the three as well with that length at 6'8". So you could even put him in the same category as, your Benedicts of the world, because they are quite similar. But yeah, look, 2 steals a game and 1.1 blocks a game in college. That's pretty awesome on the defensive end.
Yeah.
To go with that 3-point shooting and to go like 17 points a game at 61% true shooting. So he's even just been pretty efficient, all the way through. So, I love it when someone mentions, hustle as one of their kind of perks, because, you see that in like a player like Scotty Barnes, for example. When you have someone that big who hustles, it's just such a net positive for your team.
Yeah, I think his upside is fairly high. I don't know if he's ever going to be an all-star, but, contributing to winning basketball, I think he's got that. And my fantasy boys and girls out there, keep an eye on this man, because he can put up stats if he gets the opportunity. And if, once those big guys come off the board, those top 4 or 5 picks, I think this guy is right up there. He and Keegan Murray can definitely fill the stat sheet. So from a fantasy point of view, I'd actually have him higher than this. And the other guy here I want to talk about is the Aussie, Dyson Daniels. I'm surprised you talked about spin moves. This man has got, he loves a spin move into a floater in the paint. I actually think that he is going to be a very good role player in the NBA. Not much of a ceiling. I don't think there's much of a ceiling, but in terms of safe picks, around that sort of, pick 10 and above kind of spot, I think that this guy is going to be contributing to good basketball. Very cerebral type of player. He's got good defense, a really good, reaction speed. He's got good passing instincts. He's got a really nice floater, good touch in the paint. His shooting is probably his biggest weakness, but I think his shot doesn't look broken or anything like that. So I think that can come along. My comp to him, now this is probably a bit above his ceiling, but he's like a Manu Ginobili kind of type, or like a Derek White kind of type. Just that guy who just plays excellent defense, good facilitator, just the perfect kind of player you'd want on your team.
I've got a, when I was watching him, I had an interesting comp that came to mind. So we'll see if you agree. I thought he was a less athletic Lonzo Ball. Just because he liked to push it. Yeah, okay. I thought he was smart. Just the way he played, he really would like in the open court, push it, get the open man, a lot like what we saw with the Lonzo Balls of the world, especially back in when he was at college or even his first year with the Lakers. He was always running through and kicking at the people.
I don't mind it. I think maybe Lonzo has a bit more of that vision that maybe Dyson isn't quite to that level.
I think Dyson, I agree with that, but I also think Dyson is a pretty good facilitator. Like, he'll see the open man, he'll find him.
Yeah.
Lonzo Ball, yeah, he's probably elite on that level. But I think the comparison, it made sense when I was watching him. I could see definitely some similarities between the two. But as I said, look, less athletic, less explosive, but also plays defense. You'll see him get a lot of blocks on people like your Lonzo Ball. He definitely does hustle, similar size, the 6'6 kind of frame. So,
hopefully he can develop the shot like Lonzo has, and then if he does, he'd be a very valuable player. So you're making me even more excited, man. I might even bump it up a bit further, but no, the Aussie, I've got to represent. I do think that he is someone that is creeping up my board ever since I've been preparing for this. So pretty happy with him at 11 there, and then I've got, we mentioned before, Johnny Davis at 12. My thing about Johnny Davis is, I don't know, this is again a bit more of a preference thing. I don't know if I like these guys that are bucket getters if they're not the best of the best. Do you know what I mean? I one of my comparisons from last year's draft is like a James Book night, where I had the same kind of issues. Just like these guys that are, they're a bucket, man. They're a bucket, but it's like they're inefficient. The thing I like about Johnny Davis is he's actually a pretty decent defender, and he's long. So I like that a bit better than a Book night.
I had the exact same reasoning. I was watching him. He's legit kind of 6'6", bigger, and he does play defense.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why I put him where he is. Because I still think, even at a minimum, he is a bucket getter. If he just comes off the bench, he could fill a role pretty well, and you could still really get him to just play defense in certain lineups as well. So I think he definitely could facilitate and be a great role player.
Yeah.
You do find with some of these guys, especially when they are more of a scorer, when you get more space to work with like they do in the NBA, maybe there is some untapped potential there. So that's why, as I was saying to you before, if someone gave him the keys and everything worked out for him, I could imagine a world where he does become an all-star, just based off his two-way. And he's got crazy skills, man. Like, footwork is awesome. He can do it all. That mid-range game is great to see, and the fans love it. So I could see him getting voted in for that reason.
Yeah, I could definitely see it. He's on the older side, 20 years old. Obviously, he's younger than someone like Atari Eason or who was the other guy? Keegan Murray as well. So he's not the oldest prospect in the world. So he does have a little bit on his side that way. But he's in the same tier for me as all these other guys. He's just, towards the bottom, just because I like a little bit of the other guys a bit better. Let's go on to these last tiers here. Your tier 3 and my tier 5. We've mentioned your 13 and 14 as Tari Eason and Dyson Daniels. Who are your 11 and 12?
So my 11 and 12, I'm going to probably butcher this name, but Akai Agbaji.
I believe it's Ochai Agbaji.
Okay, there we go.
Ochai Agbaji.
It's a tough one.
Hit me
it's
in the comments if I butchered that. I'm sorry.
That's probably the toughest name in the draft, I think, for sure. So look, he's my number 11, and then my number 12, I went with EJ Liddell, who I do like. But we'll talk about Agbaji first. I kind of think he's just that versatile wing. Everyone's looking for him. And that's kind of why I put him where he is. Yes, look, he is a bit older, which is probably why he is falling. But I think he's just got a lot of good tools. He can do everything. He's a great three-point shooter. Shot 41% from college, averaged about 20 points a game. So in terms of what he can do, he can do it all. He's a really good, versatile defender. He gets slid into a team straight away, someone who needs help. So for that reason, a Des Bane comp, I probably think is a good one. He's not as probably built as Des Bane. But I think he's just someone who can come in straight away and really just make a positive influence on a team. And as this look, everyone wants wings, right? Everyone wants him.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's a prototypical sort of wing in the NBA. I'm a bit down on his ceiling, so he won't make an appearance in my, in my lottery. But in saying that, this next tier, I've got two players listed on the video here, but in actual fact, there's probably about 15 players that, like, right now, like, after these top 12 players, my confidence in a lot of these guys just dramatically drops. I think this draft, after the first 10 or so guys, it's honestly pretty poor after this. I could mix and match a lot of these guys personally. So I'd probably have Agbaji, you know, in that sort of middle to late teens in the draft, so mid first round, just depending on what you're looking for. For me, it's really just the age thing. I think I've got a few of these other guys that I think that will be better by the time they're his age, or at least have a bit of a higher upside. But if you just want, you know, some of those competing teams that are trying to get a bit better, that want an immediate impact, then he definitely can do that. He's had a big showing in the tournament and put some really big clutch shots, and you know, he's got good size at that position. So I think he's a good role player. I don't know if he can be a starting player in a good team, or, you know, a good rotation player on a great team would probably be where I'd peg him. But I don't see much more upside than that personally, which is sort of why he falls a little bit further behind some of these other guys.
Yeah, look, I put him here just because I know someone probably will grab him around this range, just because it's the wing that's athletic, yeah, and can shoot threes.
It's whatever
and everyone wants it.
Yeah, everyone wants it, that's for sure. Let's talk about your next guy, EJ Liddell.
Have you spent much time on EJ Liddell?
I have. I like what he, in theory, what he could be.
That's kind of what I'm going off as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I don't know if it happens. I think it's like a... You know, we get enamored with these like 6'7" guys that, you know, could potentially play like a big power forward or center and block shots and switch, and, you know, Draymond Green's everyone's favorite name to throw out there. But yeah, I don't know. I just think that combination is so rare to actually pull off that I just doubt it works. But if it does, I don't know. Would you agree?
Yeah, look, this guy plays hard, man. And that's what I like seeing about him. He's like the master of the chase down block. The amount of chase down block highlights this guy has is ridiculous. Hence why he averages 2.6 blocks a game in college, which is pretty crazy. That's a pretty high number.
And at 6'7", that's pretty impressive.
Yep. And he's built like a house as well. He's just a big dude. He's a bit older, 21 and a half. Yeah. So he is probably sliding in drafts a bit for that reason. But I think he's got a lot of the fundamentals there. He averaged, you know, almost 20 points, 19 and a half, with those blocks, 8 rebounds, and could shoot the 3-pointer pretty well, 37.5% from the line. So I think that's pretty good tools, especially it with such a frame that definitely is the potential for the small ball lineup. I can see like his body type kind of remind me a bit of like a PJ Tucker, but he's just like goes out the blocks a little bit longer.
Yep.
Obviously a bit more aggressive in terms of on the offensive end as well. So there's a lot of positive signs. I think he really could be a great role player in this league.
Yeah, I don't hate it at all. I think, like I said, these guys are all very much clumped together for me. And, you know, I usually like to release my big board, you know, 1 through 30 before the draft, and I could easily have him swapping in and out. There's a lot of guys that I'm still not very sure about that are coming into this kind of range. They're not going to make my board, but a shout out to players like Ty Washington, Usman Dieng, you know, players...
Who we saw, by the way,
We saw him early in the season, and he was not doing as well at that time of the season, but he had a very strong finish to the NBL season, so did put him back on the maps. You know, players like Patrick Baldwin Jr., which I have no idea how to evaluate, Kendall Brown, you know, all these kind of guys. Jaden Hardy is another one who I'm finding really hard to peg down. All these guys are in that kind of mix for me, but the two guys that I've slotted into this spot at 13, I've got Jeremy Sochan. And at 14, I've got the center from Duke, Mark Williams. So I'll start off by talking about Jeremy Sochan. How much work have you done with Jeremy Sochan, and was he close to making your lottery there?
He was in consideration. He was definitely around that mid-teens for me personally. There was someone coming off the bench. He's pretty young, but he's got a lot of really good capable skills. He's actually a really kind of good passer, I think, for his size as well. 6'9", good frame, big body at 230. I do like his basketball IQ as well. He probably just needs a bit of work on his shooting. That's probably one of the knocks for him.
Yeah, I think obviously, you know, the size again, you know, he's that typical guy. You compare him to someone like a Franz Wagner last year, or even some people have thrown out Scotty Barnes, which let's pump the brakes on that one a little bit. And can we stop with the Draymond Green comparisons? Like, my God, just because someone is 6'7" to 6'9", plays decent defense and is a good passer, they're not Draymond Green. Please stop it. I see this way too often. I'm looking at you, ringer.com.
Draymond Green is one of the most unique players in history.
Oh, it really grinds my gears. He's one of the best defenders of all time. Can we please pump the brakes there? But I do like the potential. Obviously, it's the key word there is potential. There's no sure thing about this guy, but I like his length. I like his ability to facilitate a little bit. He's not a primary ball handler like Scotty Barnes was in college. Like, he was the point guard in college. Jeremy Sochan was not that. He was coming off the bench. He was a secondary facilitator and showed good passing instincts, but was not doing it to the volume that I think you would need to be confident for that to translate to the NBA. So for that reason, he's probably the highest, maybe one of the highest upside guys in this range, but by no means am I super confident, but he makes it there for that alone. And then Mark Williams is a bit of a safe one for me, bit of a boring pick. I don't love it. He's your traditional center. I compare him to someone like a Tyson Chandler or like a Samuel Dalembe, who's a bit of an old school throwback, or a Clint Capella kind of type. You know, he's a rim runner. He's a vertical spacer, you know, over four blocks per game in college basketball. Really good timing. You know, a very decent athlete, but he's never going to be a shooter. He's not going to stretch the floor. He's very limited in terms of ball handling or playmaking. So, you know, he could be a starting center in the league as basically his upside, but that's pretty much it. But, you know, I do think that is still important to have that rim protection presence and that vertical spacing presence. So I think that he's kind of slots in here, but I don't love it. I'm not loving this point in the draft at this point. What are your thoughts on Mark Williams?
You pretty much touched on what he's there for. It's a big center. I think he'll be a solid core piece, even if he ends up being someone that comes off the bench for a while. Maybe he will get into a starting role. He's got that 7'7" wingspan.
Yeah, huge wingspan.
While being 7 foot tall. So there's a reason he's getting a lot of blocks. He will definitely intimidate a lot of people at the rim. It is just, you know, like with a lot of problems with your 7 footers, it's just that lack of lateral quickness on the perimeter. So for that reason, he could get played out of certain games, which is why I think when he definitely starts in this league, I think he will be around that mid-teen in terms of a pick, and someone would just give him some good spot in minutes as a bit of a shot blocker. Look, maybe he will start someday, but I'm not super high on him. As you said, at this point in the draft, it is a bit tough, isn't it? It's hard to judge these guys. I'm not as confident as I was last draft.
No.
And I will say last draft looks like a historically good draft in terms of the amount of depth.
Year going into the 20s, man, I was like, man, this guy could be a starter, like maybe even make a couple of, like, there were some guys in there, like, you know, there's some guys that I still think, you know, we haven't seen much of, like some of the young dudes that were playing that I still think, you know, a couple of guys on the Hawks
Don't count out Booknight. Like, yeah, you're throwing some hate. He's still young. Still young, you know.
I don't know about Booknight, but a few other guys that I am keeping my eye on and I do have some high hopes for. So, that'll do it for us today, guys. Make sure you drop a like if you're watching along on YouTube. Make sure if you're listening along on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, give us a good rating. We love to talk about the draft. So if you love draft content, make sure you're subscribed and you look out for our future videos. If you have any questions, comments, or disagree with any of our picks, drop them in the comments on YouTube and we're happy to have a good chat. And next time, we will see you to talk about some mock drafts. Laters.
The recording has stopped.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.